ハリヒオ
サハナバガトサハナブナクトサハヴィルヤンカラババハイテジャスヴィナバディタマストマヴィデヴィシャバハイOm Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, page 89.
I think those pages were something Chari Chandra King underneath. He told me to mention. I don't know what it is.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
Oh, no, it's not. It's that's one's about... the purpose of the movement. Yeah, because we came across one this morning.
Oh.
So, yeah, yeah. Well, it means we see, we've come across a few of them in this canto, which says this movement is, you know, meant for this, you know, so that was what we were doing. Because according to the, what do you call it? Means devotees talk a lot about strategic planning, but unfortunately they don't know what strategy means in this, because they're using a corporate model, which simply means what's your plan? Like this be the strategy. Okay, let's all get together. What do you think, you know, should be the goal? What should we strive for? And then everybody puts up their ideas, you know, but that's not the strategy. Those may be operational, those may be tactical. Strategy means what's the qualities you're trying to gain. You know. So therefore, in the movement, to make pure devotees, to create the Sangha so that people can come and get that and become pure devotees, that's strategy. Then, how are you going to do that? That's operational. Okay, prasad distribution, book distribution, festivals, programs, you know, outreach, you know, all these, those are operational. And then tactical is that you're actually, okay, how do I do that? You know what I'm saying? So, when I it struck me that these are the strategy. Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So strategy is in prayojana, actually.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They're taking it as you know, as I'll be there.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying, is that it sounds good, because on one level it is addressing some aspects, but it's not addressing it in the broadest sense. And the person who you could say would be, in one sense, the father of strategic planning within the Western world is Clausewitz. And he made a point very clear that how people are using it like that, that's not the thing. He gave the example of they're studying, let's say, someone's war. You know, how it means, and you know, after the battle, it's always easy to study and think, oh, yes, this, that, you know, those things. So, he was saying is that, he gave the name of somebody, but let's say, I think it was maybe Napoleon or something. So, in this particular battle, then he attacked this way, but then it didn't work, so he flanked the other way, and then he flanked back. And because of that, he won the war. So, they're all saying, what great strategy, what this and that. He says, that's not. Flanking is just, that's just practical what you do on the ground. He says it's higher than that. He was saying that the king at the time, Philip or something, who was before him or something, says the strategy, he wants to protect his subjects. That's the strategy. Then to do that, then you know you have different ways to go about it. So in trying to go about it, the only option actually practically was war. He must have tried the other methods. So therefore, then, the operational is war. Then, the tactical is, okay, we're going to this battlefield, that battlefield, we'll attack here, we'll attack there. And then the detail will be, is okay, we put 20 guys here and a cavalry over there, like that. That's the, you know, it goes on down. So generally, these lower things are generally thought, this is the higher. So the point is the Prabhupada says, that, you know, you see it many times, the Prabhupada says, the purpose of this movement is, you know, to create this Krishna consciousness, give an opportunity to people to take advantage of you know, the association of devotees, or to, you know, to learn about Krishna. And this is that strategy. That's actually what it's for.
So in the operational and tactical web, do we put both of those in Abhidev?
It is, but means it's kind of using, it means it is like that. Yes, you could say, but there's going to be, the point is that what you have and what you can do and what are your options, you know. So Prabhupada, in here we would put his seven purposes. Mm-hmm. That's how we're going to gain people becoming devotees. So strategy is that, operational is the seven purposes. So now all we have to do is deal with tactical and mechanical. That's why Prabhupada says you only have to fill in. He's built the structure. We simply fill in the walls and put windows and doors and the balcony and, you know, stuff like that. You know, that little, you know, planter out on the balcony and that, and, you know, that kind of stuff. That's what we do. But we're thinking, oh, we have to, how are we going to structure it? No, that's already done. He's already done the two most important. Now, following those two, now we see how we're going to run the temple, how we're going to do festivals, how we're going to do, because he's already said what we do. Now then we'll just see is, okay, we have 20 devotees and we can do this, or we can ask another temple to come with, you know, that, or there's a traveling Sankirtan, ask them to come for this, and then we can do this big thing, you understand? Yeah. So it's a very different approach, because this is the original form, it's not the corporate form. Right? This is actually when you're taking on, you know, so when Prabhupada would use war analogies, it's actually closer to what we're doing than, oh no, we don't like the war, and then they'll use corporate. The corporate is mercenary. You know, it's just about money. So where's the character? Because in the military, it's all about character. That's the first thing they teach you. Before they give you a gun so you blow your head off, they teach you character. Right? And when you're submissive, you respect authority, you're dutiful, you do what you're told, then they'll hand you a gun. You know, unless, of course, they don't like you, then they might hand it to you earlier. But here's a grenade. We're just stepping out. We got something to do, you know. Yeah. So it's more, is that because we work on the character, and then with that, because that's what he said, purity is the force. Preaching is the essence, but purity is the force. So if we're not developing that purity, then how will they be preaching? So this is a...
Through the books.
Huh?
We can preach through the books.
Yes, because then that's the basis.
Even if we don't develop the character.
Yes, but then Prabhupada has the character. So at least if we have enough character to get them to take the book, then yeah, that works. But then it needs character to know that you don't have character, and the only way you can do it is through the character of the acharyas in their books. That takes character in itself. So.
Because it seems that's what we are doing.
Yes, that's the whole point, is we're already following an already set system. Anyone who uses it, it's successful. And if we create something else, it doesn't work. You know, any yatra that just takes what Prabhupada did and just does that, it works. And when they try something else, it just doesn't work. I mean, you know, it's nice to sit around and talk about it like that, you know. But, yeah, I'm not even sure that it'll get bile going enough these days. You know?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah? I guess if you bring in an issue.
Just experimenting, you know.
Yeah, you know, it gets the...
little something.
Yeah, but the only problem is how much bile do you need to digest, you know, something with no salt, no fat,
or
nothing in it. Yeah, it's just like there's nothing there. So.
So then you can use it for something else.
Yeah, you might get a hole in your liver or something. You know. Okay. Maharaj Katvanga thought, even though the demigods have the advantages of being situated in the higher planetary systems, their mind, senses, and intelligence are agitated by material conditions, right? Because, how you say, if you have nothing, then you don't maybe don't think of much. You know, there might be a little bit you dream, but that's about all. But if you have all facility, then they get agitated, right? Because they could do this, they could do that, they could do so many things. They could sit in their palace and enjoy. They could go out to the Nanda in the gardens and enjoy. They could go out in their chariot and fly in the sky and enjoy. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, what do you do? You know, so, like that. Therefore, even such elevated persons fail to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is eternally situated in the core of the heart. What then is to be said of others, such as human beings, who have fewer advantages? Srila Prabhupada comments. It is a fact that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always situated in everyone's heart. Ishwaras sarva bhutanam hridesher dunatishtati. Bhagavad Gita, 1861. But because of our material anxieties, which are inevitable in this material world, we cannot understand the Supreme Lord, although he is situated so near to us. For those always agitated by material conditions, the yogic process is recommended so that one may concentrate his mind upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the heart. Jnana vastita tadgatena manasa pashyanti yam yoginaha. Srimad Bhagavatam 12.13.1. Because in material conditions the mind and senses are always agitated, by the yogic procedures like dharana, asana, and jnana, one must quiet the mind and concentrate it upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, the yogic process is a material attempt to realize the Lord. Whereas bhakti, devotional service, is the spiritual process by which to realize him. That's why in some places, means you'll see, is it only mentions karma and jnana, because yoga will be counted within karma, because you're using a material method to get. Yeah. Yes.
In this context, can we say it's a mechanical process?
Yes, it's a mechanical process, and therefore means you could take the last two, about jnana and samadhi. Yeah. When you're focusing on Vishnu, then you could take it as, okay, then jnana. You know, because then there's the higher, there's that detachment. But before that, it's generally it's karma. But it has that element, it's kind of like it has both kind of aspects.
Yeah.
Like that. So therefore, only bhakti yoga, that's the easiest, because that's direct. It's just if you're thinking of Krishna, you're not thinking of Maya. You're doing things for Krishna, you're not doing things for karma. You know, you're doing things for Krishna, you're already liberated. So you're already getting all the benefits of karma, jnana, and yoga by bhakti. Just by engaging in that. Okay. So, yeah. Maharaj Katvanga accepted the spiritual path and therefore he is no longer interested in anything material. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, 1855, Bhaktiyamam abhijanati. Only by devotional service can I be understood. Right? Because he sets the rules. It's not that you can do it another way. It's not, no, if I try, if I want. No, it's just, he's just saying how it works. You know, it's just like saying, you're locked in jail. If I unlock the door, you can get out. And if I don't unlock the door, you won't get out. Because there's not even a knob on the inside. Right? You know, it's just a wall. Right? You know, like that. So, it's just a fact. That's all he's saying. So when we catch that, then if we engage in bhakti, we'll get. Right? Is that what he's saying? Yeah. One can understand Krishna, the Parabrahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only through devotional service. The Lord never says that one can understand him by performing mystic yoga or by philosophically speculating. Bhakti is above all such material attempts. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmadya navritam. Bhakti rasamrita sindhu 1.1.11. So you definitely don't forget this one, right? The number is all. Bhakti is uncontaminated, being unalloyed even by jnana or pious activities. Right? So it doesn't have these in it. We will say they're in it, but that's because we don't actually understand bhakti. Bhakti is the devotion. Then you have ways in which you can express that devotion. So all of the recommended processes of religion can be used to express bhakti. But the point is they on their own will never get you bhakti or get you realization of the Lord. Right? It's only by bhakti, then using them, you'll get something. And bhakti is such that even without them, just remembering the Lord, hearing chanting, that's all you require. Right? But since we have our particular our body, our mind, our words, we engage the body and mind in words, but according to the recommended processes. What are the recommended processes? All the varieties of religion. Right? Does that make sense? That means what the Shastra recommends. We're not saying, what are they called? Pastafarian. we're not talking about that. No Pastafarians?
No.
Pastafarians are a group that, I don't know the full philosophy, but basically is that there's this, the origin is a large pile of spaghetti that somehow or another everything is manifested from. And so therefore, as part of their ritualistic process, they have, that colander for straining spaghetti, they wear that on their heads. And in some states and some countries now, it's legal that they can actually have their driving license taken with that colander on their head.
There were politicians in the United States that got sworn in wearing that.
And they have their marriage ceremonies. I think they dress up like pirates or something, and then they wear. It's weird. It's just like somebody had nothing to do. I'm not sure.
Everybody eats pizza. Let's be real.
Yeah. That's the thing is, when you go through the Sistine Chapel, they only show you certain paintings because the ones around the back, then they're all sitting around with pizza and like that.
Having a great time.
Yeah, like that.
Last supper.
Yeah. You only see from here. You can't really see the table, but they're all eating pizza. Yeah. Like that. So yeah, like you said, everyone eats pizza. Now it's just a matter of where you focus. And stuff. Or you can say. Everyone is. Do people breathe?
So they breathe.
Yeah. I don't know. It's some weird thing, and why they came up with it.
I think actually it came from some atheists who wanted to show.
Of course.
Yeah. So they just wanted to show how ridiculous religion is. So they made up some rituals as if.
No, but why does that show religion? Why doesn't that just show how stupid people are?
See, that's the quality of tamagun.
Yeah, they don't. They think it's religion. No, it's people.
They actually think we look stupid if they put that on their head.
Who looks stupid?
The Pastafarians think if they act silly, that makes us look stupid, right? Because they think it refers to us.
No, but what it makes look stupid are those people who are allowing that as a religion.
Yeah.
I think in Hungary, they just went through. They just I think it was a couple of years ago. They just went through a thing and just who is actually a bona fide religion, and they cut from I think like 200 different things down to something like 50 or something.
Yeah, because you can pay tax by donating to those religions. That's why they wanted to cut it down.
Oh, okay. But still, they went through, and so we squeaked under.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, so.
Flying spaghetti monster.
Yes. Oh, I see. That's the.
That's the god.
It's the flying spaghetti monster.
That's the supreme personality of Pastafarians.
I see. This flying spaghetti monster.
Yes.
I see. Okay. Now, what are they going to do when, after they die, they go to see Yamaraj? And then all the Yamadutas are all standing around. And said, and then Yamara says, "So you like spaghetti?"
You like spaghetti.
Yeah. And then for the next,
millions of years,
and then they're taken, thrown off the mountain into a pot of spaghetti.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. It's all they get to eat eternally is spaghetti.
You just have to keep eating.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Maharaj Katvanga thought, therefore I should now give up my attachment for things created by the external energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I should engage in thought of the Lord and should thus surrender unto Him. This material creation, having been created by the external energy of the Lord, is like an imaginary town visualized on a hill or a forest. Every conditioned soul has a natural attraction and attachment for material things, but one must simply give up this attachment and surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So his point is that whatever's here is not real, in that it can't give any satisfaction to the soul. Right? It means it exists, but it's just like, let us say we go to, what's her name, Madame Trousseau? You know?
Wax cabinet.
Okay, now let us say in her wax museum. Yeah. Then they do have a huge, you know, dinner for, you know, laid out there and everything like that. So the point is it's real in that it's there, but it's unreal in that it won't give any, you can't get anything from it. So in the same way as the material world exists, but the soul can't gain anything from it. Right? Means they'll think, if I manipulate it this way or that way, or I get this situation or that, I'll be happy. But it'll never give satisfaction to the soul. It's only when the soul engages in devotional service, then they can get something. So that means then, according to one's position, one's taking those items that you were previously thinking, this will give me satisfaction, and now you're using it to give the Lord satisfaction, that gives you satisfaction. So that's what's meant by the situation doesn't. You don't have to change what you're doing. You have to change the consciousness. But that means change the consciousness that it's for Krishna. Yes.
So how can we understand that material world is asat, achit, and without ananda? Because it appears that sat, it is there.
It exists, but it's not eternal. It means the material energy itself is eternal, but any manifestation within in there is not. So there's not a continuity of of memory or identity. This life, I mean, our consciousness is there, but this lifetime we identify in one way, next lifetime in another way. But in the spiritual world, there's always the same identity. There's variety, but it's always within the same identity. So that's why we say it's asat, because your identity will keep changing lifetime to lifetime. Like that. Not that it's not real. The material energy is there. Like that. But the point is it's also, it's based on ignorance. It's based on not knowing the Lord. That's why we're here, is because material existence means we're not connecting something to the Lord. As soon as we connect it to the Lord, then that becomes knowledge. That becomes sat. You know, that's real. Like that. And ananda, it's we're removing the pain that we feel for a lack of something. And so by gaining it, we simply bring it up to zero. But because that's all we have, we call that happiness. You know, that's like that. You know, let us say you were walking down the street, and there's and something starts happening, and it's a whole kind of like riot goes on, and somehow there's some guys grab you, stick you in a chair, and they pick you up over their heads and start running with you and bouncing you up and down. Well, you consider this a good situation? No. What if it was a marriage? You understand? So it's all mental. We say, if this happens to me here, I'll be happy. But it's not about the chair and being up there and things like that. It's about, mentally we say, this is a happy situation. So when we get it, the anxiety of not having it, then we have it. So it removes that anxiety, but it only brings it up to neutral. The devotional service means it's a connection with the Lord. It's between the Lord, who is Ananda, And we're connecting with that, so that's actually positive. So other than devotional service, there actually isn't any happiness. But we're so used to the one, we're not actually used to the other. So it actually, that's why also devotional service take a little time, because we have to adjust to this new, you know, whatever mode our happiness is in, to going up higher, you know, and so it gets, you know, yes.
But that's the whole thing, that we're trying to convince ourselves about the perception that in devotional service we will be happy because we don't really think.
Yes, means we're trying to change our perception. That's the meaning of changing the consciousness, changes your perception. Just like you change the consciousness of, you know, from anamoy to pranamoy, it changes what your perception is. Otherwise, it's just you and your senses, then it's everybody and their senses. You know, like that manamoy, then what are the duties? Vijnanamoy, the nature of the soul. Then anandamoy, then the interaction with the Lord, service to the Lord. So it does change the perspective. So that's what we're trying to adjust. You adjust that, everything else adjusts. Okay, Srila Prabhupada comments. When passing through a mountainous region in an airplane, one may sometimes see a city in the sky with towers and palaces, or one may see similar things in a big forest. This is called Gandharvapura, a phantasmagoria. Like that. This entire world resembles such a phantasmagoria. And everything materially, and every materially situated person has attachment for it. That's the thing. We have an attachment for this fantasy.
Yeah.
We think, oh, if this is there, then this will be perfect and everything will work. And so if it goes in that way, then we're happy. And if it doesn't, then we're upset. And anybody or anything that we see gets in the way of that, that will be considered, what do you call it?
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
We know that one.
Yes. Okay. Not that it's a big deal. It's your own. It means what you do in your own time, that's up to you. But here, if you stick your fingers in your mouth, you're not clean. And then when you touch the books, which are scripture, then they become unclean and they don't like being unclean. Does that make sense? So maybe go wash your hands. Then he had his fingers in your mouth? Who had their fingers in the mouth? You have four arms or something? You're sure? That wasn't your mouth. Do you know what a mouth is? Okay. Okay. But Maharaj Katvanga, because of his advanced Krishna consciousness, was not interested in such things. Even though a devotee may engage in apparently materialistic activities, he knows his position very well. Nirbandha Krishna Sambande Yuktam Vairagyam Uchate. One engages all material things in relation with the loving service of the Lord. One is situated in Yukta Vairagya, proper renunciation. Right? So that's it. It's the connection to the Lord. That's what makes it Yukta Vairagya. Not whatever you feel like. That's what makes it Yukta Vairagya. So it's not us that makes it Yukta Vairagya. It's Krishna that makes it Yukta Vairagya. Mm. Okay? Because Yukta means connected to the Lord. And Vairagya means not about us. So we don't really figure into that. Somehow or another, Yukta Vairagya means, yeah, it's whatever I want to do.
Yeah.
But that's not the actual meaning.
Whatever I want to do, and on a good day, Yukta.
Yeah.
Something like that.
It's just, you know, we just say.
But this is the concept of Mishra Bhakti. That's how Yukta Vairagya
means what is being described here is pure devotional service where everything can be connected to the Lord. That's Yukta Vairagya. So that's the Nirbandha Krishna Sambande, Yuktam Vairagya Muchate. So it's about connecting everything to the Lord. So whatever you're doing is connected to the Lord. Means you are connecting to the Lord when we're doing Mishra Bhakti, but it's more about us, and then we're connecting it to the Lord. So it's less about the Lord, more about us. So that won't be called pure devotional service. But in pure devotional service, you're taking anything that we would call material, means, you know, the items of this world and activities of this world, and using them for Krishna. Therefore, like Prabhupada, takes so much money or facilities, use it for Krishna. That's yukta vairagya in its natural state. Right? Then you can, within mixed devotional service, then take the same items and use them connected to Krishna, but we may also have some connection with it. You know, so when you give the person some money and he takes it, but you're still kind of holding on a bit, you know. Like that. Does that make sense? So it should be understood is that it's progressive. Means in any way you're connecting Krishna, that's good. But there is a natural hierarchy. So we can't say, oh, it's the same. We have to be able to tell the difference between pure and mixed devotional service and non-devotional service. Right? That's why we're getting into these technical things in the, you know, here. Especially starting with seventh canto, because then you see people who are following the Veda very nicely, very nicely situated, but it still doesn't impress the Lord like that. And we even see, you know, individuals like Daksha worshiping the Lord, offering prayers. His prayers are so nice, they're recorded in the Bhagavatam. That's the Guya Hamsa prayers. Hamsa Guya. I always get it the other way. Hamsa Guya. Okay. Hamsa Guya prayers. Huh?
Sounds the same.
Yeah. Oh, maybe it's GH. I mean, that's where I got it backwards. Okay. Hamsa Guru, right?
Hamsa Guya.
Okay. Make sure. Okay. And then. Okay. So, but. He's worshiping the Lord, so that connection to the Lord, that's good. And because of that, he gets what he needs. So that's the whole point, is no matter what you're interested in, approach the Lord, you can get what you want. But the point is that it's still not pure devotional service. So we can't say, oh, see, he's doing that, then that's fine. No, that's fine for that level. Otherwise, you see his Prahlad Mars is in after that. And then he's offering prayers, and he doesn't want anything. And we see in this canto, anybody who is a devotee, they're being offered, they never take it. But you see in the previous cantos, they're all taking it. Right? But it's connected to the Lord. So it's progressive.
I have a doubt.
You have a doubt? Okay.
Hey,
what is the doubt?
Maharaj Priyavrata. He accepted.
Because that's he was, you know, by authority he's supposed to do. But it's not that the Lord is giving him the benediction and says, what would you like? And then he says, you know, how you say,
yeah, the least.
You know, he, you know, that, you know, either that motorcycle that he wants to ride or that Mercedes Benz or, you know, those. Wow, this is going to a new level here. Yeah. Actually, I guess that's the problem, right? They're just too simple out on the West Coast there. You know? You can have both. You know, be smart like them on the East Coast. You know, Okay. So Bali Marj is not taking. Prahlad Marj is not taking. Like that. So
who is taking?
Huh?
Who is taking? Except for us, nobody else is taking.
No, but it says the Lord gave, you know, Kardama Muni. He wanted to, you know, get married and all that. He's getting, Daksha's getting, so many others are like this, and so then that's. But it's not a problem because it's connected to the Lord, so the devotees, and they're progressive. And you see, at the end of the life, they all go back to Godhead. Like that, you know. Daksha will have to see, because he's only halfway through his life. So, you know, maybe in the...
He's doing okay.
You know, the further Bhagavatams, you know, yeah. You know, after, you know, some more years than of Brahma, then, you know, it might have him... Yeah. Yes, the difference in everything is the internal. These, technically speaking, everyone follows sadhana bhakti, right? The sadhana bhakti is necessary for the neophytes, so the neophytes are supposed to take the madhyama mood. The uttamas come as in a madhyama mood. So then, following the sadhana bhakti as recommended by, you know, for us by Rupa Goswami. To please the Lord, that's what everyone's doing. Though the neophyte may have a little bit more he wants to keep, the Madhyama not so much, but he likes the area, and the Uttama, then he's not worried about it, but he just is practical in that he uses what he has. Does that make sense? So in other words, your Naishkarmya is there, and you could say in your Uttama and the Madhyama. The Madhyama is comfortable using his conditioning. While the Uttama, it doesn't matter, but you have to be practical. He uses what is the conditioning. You know what I'm saying? So it's not that he's comfortable with it, so he prefers using it, but he's not attached to the results of it like the Madhyama. But it's just practically means, you know, you can only pick up things in two hands if you have two hands. You know what I'm saying? You know, Kartavirya Arjuna has 1,000 hands, so, you know, you can imagine, you know, how, if you have a pile of wood and you need to move it, call him. You know, in one shot, he just picks the whole thing up. You know what I'm saying? So they're using what is their conditioning in the Lord's service, not starting with their conditioning and using it. So the Madhyama is fully using their conditioning in the Lord's service. You understand? It's just a slight difference. That's the meaning of Sarva Dharma. You're giving up all these other religions, and simply it's about devotion to Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes?
I'm just thinking about two verses. Then the Yukta Vairagya verse, it apparently is for Madhyamas, but then, you know, Sarvadharma Paritya and then Anya Vilasita Shunya, that's an Uttama platform.
It's also, I mean, Sarvadharma Paritya is, but you could say the Anya Vilasita Shunya, that can be from that platform. Because there's no desire for karma and jnana, it's just that they're comfortable in that position. So there's no desire there. It's just that. Let's say they're a grihastha, so they're comfortable engaging the grihastha ashram. Or they're a brahmachari, they're just comfortable using that. While for the uttama, then they give up the dharma of brahmachari and grihastha, and they just serve Krishna. So as a grihastha, they engage the grihastha ashram. But it's not that they're, does that make sense? They're engaging in devotional service. They're using the grihastha ashram. So for them, it could have been anything. But since they're a grihastha, that's what they're engaging. You know, it's like Bhaktivinoda Thakur is engaging grihastha ashram. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is engaging brahmachari ashram. So it just happens to be what they're in. That's the arrangement. So it's not that it matters to them.
Yeah, because I'm thinking that there are so many courses and devotees install or make stronger identity, you know, like you're grihastha and this and that, but this is not our identity as such.
No,
if we want to progress.
Yes.
Because it's not about grihastha or brahmacharya or this or that. It's about pure devotional service.
That's what it's about. So if that's there, then all these issues about grihasthas and brahmacharyas and stuff, that all goes away. Because this is just what you're supposed to do. You know?
Yeah.
So it's just like, if you're supposed to, let's say, cook something, and this is the recipe, this is how it's done, and this is what's expected, then you just go and do it. But if it's, no, I'm a cook, and I'm an identity, I got to show my uniqueness, my, you know, this and that, and, you know, then it's a, then that's where the problem starts. So it's just a matter that the Vedas say this is how it's done. And for this side, we don't care. We're not trying to develop anything here. It's just that in grihastha life, you deal with family members. There's consideration there. There's, you know, effort is put into family members and all that because that's just what you do. Right? But it's not that one's trying to develop or needs to develop the grihastha ashram. It's just that's what's done. And if that, and because you're trying to please Krishna and you're using that. Because when you get to the spiritual world, then it's going to be whatever is your nature. Does that make sense? It'll be whatever is your nature. So then, what's your position, that's what you'll do for Krishna. like that. So we're only being asked by Lord Chaitanya to do what they do in the spiritual world. It looks different than other samskaras. Some say, oh, the Shris, the Madhvas are so much more pukka and this and that, because they do what they do in Vaikuntha. Mm. So of course it has to be more pukka and regulated, like that. Or what they do in Braj is different from what they do in Braj. The basis is the same, the 16 items of worship, all, that's all the same. But how it's expressed is different. So this whole thing is, oh, they're this and that, and oh, they're more developed, more they're more this and that. It's like, you know, yeah, because that's what they do. You know, that was the whole discussion, was it? Shivas Thakur, and I think Swarup Damodar. They have a discussion where they're kind of razzing each other, you know, because Srivas Thakur is the Vaikuntha man, and Swarup Damodar is a Braj man, you know. So then, you know, the one is saying, in Vaikuntha everything is so great and opulence and this and that, and it's so wonderful and so perfect, but you know, in your Vrindavan it's just some dust and some sticks and some leaves and that's it, you know, nothing like the greatness and opulence of our Vaikuntha, you know. And that, and then Swarup Damodar is, you know, just one speck of that dust, that's Chintamani, so all the opulence of Vaikuntha comes out of one of those specks of dust, you know, so like that, they're just having some fun. But it's a different flavor. That's the whole thing. So this whole being enamored by others and what others do, that's not for us. You know, that's not our business. You know, because in Braj, a lot of stuff is going on. Do we get involved? No. Right? Cowherd men are there. They're taking out the cows. They're doing their things. They're paying their taxes and that. Do we necessarily get involved? No, we have our own things. So we have to be able to handle that the Braj bossies do something different than we do, because in Braj, that's the way it is. You know, I mean, it's what do you call it? You have Govardhan Mazumdar, you know, his crew, they all do something totally different than what we're going to be doing. You know, that's why, you know, being involved in Yavat, then it seems like a neutral state, like that. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like that. Keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer. Okay. Set? Yeah? Good. Okay. If one engages all material things in relation with the loving service of the Lord, one is situated in yukta vairagya, proper gratification. Everything should be accepted for the service of the Lord.
Proper renunciation.
Okay. If one engages all material things in relation with the loving service of the Lord, one is situated in yukta vairagya, proper renunciation. In this material world, nothing should be accepted for one's sense gratification. Everything should be accepted for the service of the Lord. This is the mentality of the spiritual world. Maharaj Katvanga advises that one give up material attachments and surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus one achieves success in life. This is pure bhakti yoga, which involves vairagya vidya, renunciation and knowledge. Right? So then, Prabhupada's book, Vairagya Vidya, that's on pure devotional service.
Pretty subtle.
Well, that was just a confirmation of those dates.
13 and 17.
No, no, not that one. There's some other ones.
Don't make a list of all the dates.
Well, this is the more serious one.
Serious dates.
More
serious dates.
Yeah, you know, like the Mejuli. Very big. Like rugby size Mejuli.
Probably
yes. Yeah, probably. Probably have. Yeah, they have dates up there. Yeah. Okay, where were we? Okay, this is the mentality of the spiritual world. Okay, so that's Vairagya Vidya, renunciation and knowledge. So that means all those five essays that Prabhupada wrote in Vairagya Vidya. That is about how the different approaches to pure devotional service. In Vairagya Vidya? It's in Bengali. But it's been translated. What's this called in English? The Nectar of Renunciation, is that one? Is that what it's called? No one knows the book.
Baba.
Knowledge of Renunciation.
Hmm?
I think so. Knowledge of Renunciation.
No, 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 but how it's been translated. How the BBT public... Nectar, no, there's Nectar of Devotion, but there's one that's about renunciation.
Okay.
It's the one that Prabhupada wrote. Huh?
Renunciation through wisdom? Yeah, Renunciation through Wisdom.
Renunciation through Wisdom, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. There's the book. Yeah, so that was written by Prabhupada before he went to America.
That's the one.
Renunciation. Yeah, so all those chapters are about pure devotional service. But one, he's talking about karma yoga, and this means how to engage all one's activities in connection to the Lord, or this and that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's mistaken, because he's just talking about pure devotional service, but how you're engaging the different things. So, mm-hmm. So that's what it's for. Yeah, so that's a...
Renunciation and using things. First, we usually say that we advise people to renounce in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they are more fixed in devotional service, they are able to accommodate more things in devotional service to connect them to Krishna. Is that the right approach?
Means if there's a problem as a distraction by the material things, then yes, by using less, then one can see how to connect things to Krishna. That's the idea of the Brahmacharya Ashram, is you reduce down, and then when you can see it all connected to Krishna, then you can use more. So whether you're using more as a grihastha, or using more as a brahmachari or sannyasi, as a preacher, in any case, you're able to connect more things. That's the general. That's why Krishna says he shows his mercy by taking everything away from the devotee, but it's actually showing of more mercy when he's able to give things to the devotee and they're able to use it in the Lord's service. So that means they're more advanced in devotional service. So that's a greater level of mercy. That shouldn't be used as an excuse of why you have more and stuff like that. We're so advanced, we have everything. Like that. Yeah, just thinking, it's like you have the assembly and they're all devotees and they're all business persons. They have a chamber of commerce, but you're new. And all that, and so then they introduce and this person here, you know, he's the most devotional in the whole group, and so then you understand from that, oh, so he must be the chairman of the Chamber of Commerce, yeah. Like that. So yeah, no, we're not talking that.
No.
Let me surrender under the personality of Godhead who has appeared now as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the ocean of all mercy and has come down to teach us material detachment, learning and devotional service to himself. Chaitanya Chandradoy Nautika 674. So, renunciation is what we're trying to do, but in the beginning, the only renunciation we know is giving up material things. But the actual renunciation is when we give up the desire for the results of the effort made through that thing. Because it means, yeah, but the highest is that we want that result for Krishna. So we can see is going from I want this for myself to I want this for Krishna. That would be easy. To go for I don't want it for myself and I don't want it for anybody, that would be more difficult. That's what the Mayavadis deal with. The yogis, all these other processes. That's why it says give up those religions, because they're very difficult. So the path of Gyan is very, very hard. Because you're giving in other words, you're not doing anything that you do in karma, and you're doing, you know, so therefore you're getting no taste there. And you're doing all the things that you do in bhakti, but without any bhakti or taste for bhakti. So therefore, you're basically living in a vacuum, you know, a tasteless vacuum. It's not like, you know, modern diets like that. You know. Maybe that's it. You ever say shunyavad, so they come up with these diets. This is a Mayavadi diet.
The new diet, tasteless vacuum diet.
Yes, okay.
Must be very effective.
Yeah, you know, that you lose all your weight, right? You know, I don't weigh anything. Yeah. Great diet. You know? Yeah, you have that thing, you know, that they have the airplanes, they go up, the cargo planes, and they go through a certain trajectory, and then they come down, and then there's something like a few minutes or seconds of weightlessness, total weightlessness. So then you could say is, you know, how to lose 100 pounds in 45 seconds, right? You know, just go and then you're nothing. You know, problem is you get it back. But yeah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inaugurated this movement of Vairagya Vidya, by which one detaches himself from material existence and engages in loving devotional service. The Krishna conscious movement of devotional service is the only process by which to counter our false prestige in this material world. So, Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued. Thus, Maharaj Kadvanga, by his advanced intelligence in rendering service to the Lord, gave up false identification with the body full of ignorance. In his original position of eternal servitorship, he engaged himself in rendering service to the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, Krishna, is extremely difficult to understand for unintelligent men who accept him as impersonal or void, which he is not. The Lord is therefore understood and sung about by pure devotees. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments to verse 49. To whom does one surrender in servitude? This is described in this verse. He is famous as Brahman. He is extremely subtle, having a form without qualities. He is conceived as being void, since he is devoid of material attachment and lust. The devotees praise him as Vasudeva. Giving up his body, Katvanga attained the Lord. It has already been said. The sage among kings named Katvanga, knowing how long he had to live, from that moment gave up everything on earth and surrendered to the Lord, the shelter of fearlessness. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.1.13. Yes.
Sometimes there is a misunderstanding about Maharaj Katvanga's example, as he surrendered in moment.
Yes.
But actually we see from this story, he was a pure devotee all the way.
Yes.
But you know, people taking out of context and saying, yeah, see, he did it, I can, without any practice.
No, the point is yes, but because it's situational, because we're taking it, my situation, same as his. So all you have to do is go to the heavenly planets, and then while you're coming from the heavenly planets down to the earthly planet, in that moment, that's when you fully surrender. So, but if you can't situate yourself in the heavenly planets, means literally there, first, and then come down like that, doing like he did. Then how can we say I can do it? And the whole point is, why did he leave there? Because they're all devotees. But the point is they're interested in material desire. That's why he left, to get out of their association. So then you have to be able to be on the heavenly planets and leave it for Krishna consciousness, not stay there and enjoy that. And you know, yes, I'll, in a moment, give me a few moments before my moment. You know.
In a moment.
Yes, yuktavairagya.
That's right.
Right.
In a moment. Yeah. Not right now.
Yeah. 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 It's like that. It's like the, yeah.
Can we say that, like, this came second canto itself, that that verse. So there the glories of that Katwang Maharaj, in a moment he attained, no?
Yes.
So this.
So the point is he's gone from his pure devotion and then to that full surrender.
So that describes the potency of devotional service, yes, as such.
And also just the focus of the devotee. That's what they want.
So both aspects, if you don't take them, it means that.
Yes, because otherwise you say, oh, well, I can do that in a moment. But the point is the moment's 11th of a second, so if you can do it, why wouldn't you do it now? If it's that easy, then do it now. You know, it's like, you know. literally, when they say the blink of an eye, that's a moment. You know, maybe the demigods blink is a little longer, so he has a little more time. In fact, they don't blink, so, you know.
But they have a fish eye or something?
I'm not sure, no, but they look nice, but they don't blink. They don't have the, you know, bug eyes. You know, kind of.
Oh, that's why they cannot see it.
Yeah, because there is no moment for them. They don't have any moments. You know, no moment.
That's why he left.
Yes, that's why he left. Yeah. I thought we had a moment there. Says, no, you don't blink.
Did you see me blink?
Did you see me blink? You didn't blink. Who blinked? Okay. Okay. Did we read this Bhagavatam verse? Okay, Srila Prabhupada adds, as stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1-11, the absolute truth is realized in three phases as Brahman, Paramama, and Bhagavan. Bhagavan is the origin of everything. Bhagavan is a partial representation of Bhagavan. Brahman is a partial representation of Bhagavan. And Vasudeva, the Supersoul, living everywhere and in everyone's heart, is also an advanced realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when one comes to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, then one realizes that Vasudeva is both Paramatma and the impersonal Brahman. He is then in perfect knowledge, right? So then the demigods, they understand the Lord as Paramatma. So that is an advanced position. But at the same time, it's when you come to Bhagavan, then you realize the other two, that they're part of the same thing. They're not a separate thing. The words Param Brahma refer to the shelter of the impersonal Brahman and also the all-pervading Supersoul. When Krishna says, Chaktva Deham Punar Janma Naiti Mam Eti, Bhagavad Gita 4.9, this means that the perfect devotee, after perfect realization, returns home back to Godhead. So here's that perfect. Perfect devotee means he's situated in Krishna consciousness. And after perfect realization, then bringing that to the next level. Right? Like that. So, yeah. Maharaj Katvanga accepted the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because of his full surrender, he achieved perfection. Right? So then he's qualified. He's situated then on the transcendental platform. So, yeah. Conclusion. If one practices devotional service from the beginning of his life, surely he will return home back to Godhead without a doubt. Because the Lord instructs, Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yovi tatvataha. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. But Maharaj Katvanga engaged himself for only a moment in devotional service to the Lord and was promoted back to Godhead. The Lord gives this instruction, Maya Shakta Mana Partha Yogam Yunjan Marashrayaha. Now hear, O son of Prita, Arjuna, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. Bhagavad Gita 7.1. Therefore, from the very beginning of one's life, one should practice bhakti yoga, which increases one's attachment for Krishna. One daily sees the deity in the temple, makes offerings by worshipping the deity. chants the holy name of the personality of Godhead and preaches about the glorious activities of the Lord as much as possible. He thus becomes attached to Krishna. This attachment is called asakti. Being absorbed in thoughts of Krishna is neither expensive nor troublesome. Krishna says, Manmanabhava madbhakto madhyajiman namaskuru. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Offer obeisances and worship me. Bhagavad Gita 9:34 and 18:65. When one's mind is attached to Krishna, maya shakta mana, one can fulfill the mission of life in one human birth. The most intelligent person, therefore, uses every moment of his life to render loving service to the Lord. Okay. And if one practices devotional service from the beginning of his life, surely he will return back home, back to Godhead. But so we see, like was pointed out here, Katbanga Maharaj knew all these things. So that means he was practicing. And then from that, now, you know, taking this opportunity, then he fully surrendered in full consciousness and went back to Godhead.
Well done.
Hmm? Well done. Well done, yes. Okay, chapter 10, the pastimes of the Supreme Lord Ramachandra. Pratigya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ramachandra, is omnipotent. Because the Lord can act without regard to material impediments or inconveniences. Okay, means he's omnipotent because nothing can stop him. Whatever he desires, that's what happens. So the point is it's his potencies. Something's getting done. How is that getting done? Because nothing stops him, so it's his potency that's doing it. Right? So he's omnipotent. Though modern scholars have tried to prove that Lord Ramachandra is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but an ordinary person, those who are learned and spiritually advanced will never accept such notions. They will accept the descriptions of Lord Ramachandra and his activities only as presented by Tattvadarshis, those who know the absolute truth. Unless one is Tattvadarshi, in complete knowledge of the absolute truth, one cannot describe the activities of the personality of Godhead. The symptoms of the Lord's activities are all mentioned in the Shastras. And after one understands them, one can accept the Lord as he is. So this Tattvadarshi, it's not scholars can't know. Well, Tattvadarshis can know. Therefore, if we follow and say, we follow the Tattvadarshis, following their footsteps and what they say and what they say to do, we do, then we take on that quality of Tattvadarshi.
Yeah.
Right? Because we're not talking about necessarily becoming the Tattvadarshi. Because sometimes they say, oh, well, unless you're Tattvadarshi, and then they'll give their own definition of what a Tattvadarshi is. In other words, can't be anybody that I know. Yeah. Right? Like that. Yeah. You know, so then the problem comes is that the example used of the soul coming to the transcendental platform is iron and fire. That's what's always used. Another example is not used. Because iron is not fire, but in fire it becomes as good as fire. So we're not technically internal potency. We're tatasta. But being in the fire of the internal potency of devotional service, we become as good as. So in the spiritual world, they don't make a distinction between who is internal potency and who is jivas. Because it's the effect is the same. It's all fire. So in the same way as we don't claim to be the Tattvadarshi, we simply have to follow the Tattvadarshi, then like an iron and fire, then we have the effect like Tattvadarshi. If we say what Prabhupada says to someone, it has the effect of the Tattvadarshi. They become devotees. They become convinced. Because otherwise, if we go by what the neophyte says, then no one's a Tattvadarshi, you know, except for their guru, of course. Right? Like that.
Myself.
Oh, okay. So,
in all humility.
So your guru and yourself.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it makes it clear. Very, very straightforward. You know? Very simple. Does that make sense? So, the Tattvadarshi, so it's not, but at the same time as you have the other aspect, modern scholars, they try to like that, but you can't. Like that. Because even those who are scholars of the Vedas, then they'll know the position of the Lord. They just don't realize the Lord because there's no devotion. They'll have knowledge of the Lord, but there's no realization, so they don't really understand it.
I was the chair of a conference on the social-cultural significance of Bhagavad Gita at the university in Bolpur. All these scholars were discussing for 3 days, and I'm sitting in the middle of it, like, because they don't understand it.
No. Did you speak?
Yeah.
And what did they say after?
Very interesting.
But did they say very interesting about anybody else's?
No,
speech?
Not really.
Okay.
They
so
started
then,
arguing with each
other. So in other words, then you gave the best speech. But they can only say very interesting because yeah. to say more than that,
they
that would
have
be
to apply.
That would be against the academic creed.
Yeah. Know,
like that.
It's not politically correct.
No, you could. Means outside the room, they could maybe personally say something to
that
you.
The professor I stayed with, he's actually a devotee. He's chanting 16
verses. Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yes.
What language?
He spoke in English?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And they?
Some of them spoke in Sanskrit, some of them spoke in Hindi, some of them most spoke in English.
What you should have had was so into you spoke in Danish and then had someone translate it to give some authority.
Yeah, that could be.
Next time.
Next year.
Nobody would understand.
No,
sure.
They would be very impressed.
Yeah. Or even better, you speak in Danish and they translate it into Sanskrit. Okay. Adhyaya Prakashika. This 10th chapter describes how Lord Ramachandra appeared in the dynasty of Maharaj Katvanga. It also describes the Lord's activities, telling how he killed Ravana and returned to Ayodhya, the capital of his kingdom. Right? So we can see is that in the lines that we're doing, in the primary creation, secondary creation, the line of the Prajapatis, the lines of the Manus, and then now the lines of the kings of the Sun and Moon dynasties, that the important thing in Bhagavatam is where are the devotees, where are the Lord, and where is the interaction between the devotees and the Lord, right? The realization of the devotees, how the Lord and the devotees interact, what they do, that's the prominent thing. And now and again, there's something a little wild and that, you know, gets a bit of attention. But, you know, other than that, then it's, you know. Yeah. The son of Maharaj Katvanga was Dirgabahu, and his son was Raghu. The son of Raghu was Aja, and the son of Aja was Dasarath, and the son of Dasarath was Lord Ramachandra. Okay, so not so far down, because you say Raghu Vamsa. So Raghu, Aja, Dasarath, so great-grandfather.
Well, that's why he's called Raghupati.
Raghupati, because he's in the Raghu Vamsa, he's in the line. So Raghu must have done something very prominent, to, just like Bharat Maharaj, they say, you know, of Bharata, or you know that they're Yadav, they're you know coming in the line of Yadu, you know. So there's someone in the line that's very prominent, so you hear about him. But generally, it's only in the Sun Dynasty that is that prominent, because otherwise.
Raghupati is this Raghu?
No, Raghupati means Ramachandra. He's Raghupati. He's the Pati of the, you know, the Raghu line.
He's Raghuvamshi.
Yes. So therefore he's Raghupati.
Is
Raghu? Raghava? I'm not sure. You have to ask Gandhi. That's his song.
It's too late to us. It's a bit late to us.
Yeah.
I'm not replying. It's
yeah. Yeah, true. Okay. When the Lord descended into this world in his full quadruple expansion as Lord Ramachandra, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna, great sages like Valmiki, who were actually in knowledge of the Absolute Truth, described his transcendental pastimes. Srila Sukadeva Goswami describes these pastimes in brief. Right, so the full is there, but here it's just you catch the mood and all this kind of that. Because this is a Purana, so it's not about any, you know, one specific. So, yeah. But the Ramayana, that's an itihas, so it's about, means in this line of kings, then it's about Ramachandra. And so in doing that, they'll sometimes go back a few generations to show the situation that you're in, just like with the Pandavas, and it goes back to Shantanu, and then comes down. Like that.
So we're showing context.
Yeah, yeah. Just like the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and then you show the context, and then like that.
Mama?
Yes.
Speaks about, you know, the quadruple extensions.
Yes.
Four brothers. So Rama is Vasudev.
Yes.
Lakshman is Sankarsana.
Yes.
And the Pradyumna and Amrita.
Bharat and Shatrughna.
It's in order.
That's probably why. Yeah, they always say it like this.
Mm-hmm.
Lord Ramachandra went with Vishwamitra and killed Rakshasas like Maricha. After breaking the stout and strong bow known as Haradanu, the Lord married Mother Sita and cut down the prestige of Parasuram. To obey the order of his father, he entered the forest. Accompanied by Lakshmana and Sita, there he cut off the nose of Suparnakha and killed the associates of Ravana, headed by Kara and Dushana. Ravana's kidnapping of Sita Devi was the beginning of this demon's misfortune. When Maricha assumed the form of a golden deer, Lord Ramachandra went to bring the deer to please Sita Devi, but in the meantime Ravana took advantage of the Lord's absence to kidnap her. When Sita Devi was kidnapped, Lord Ramachandra, accompanied by Lakshmana, searched for her throughout the forest. In the course of the search, they met Jatayu. Then the Lord killed the demon Kabanda and the commander Vali, and established a friendly relation with Sugriva. After organizing the military strength of the monkeys and going with them to the shore of the sea, the Lord awaited the arrival of Samudra, the ocean personified. But when Samudra did not come, the Lord, the master of Samudra, became angry. Then Samudra came to the Lord with great haste and surrendered to him, wanting to help him in every way. The Lord then attempted to bridge the ocean, and with the help of advice from Vibhishana, he attacked Ravana's capital, Lanka. Previously, Hanuman, the eternal servant of the Lord, had set fire to Lanka, and now with the help of Lakshmana, the forces of Lord Ramachandra killed all the Rakshasa soldiers. Then Lord Ramachandra personally killed Ravana. Mandodari and other wives lamented for Ravana. In accordance with Lord Ramachandra's order, Vibhishana performed the funeral ceremonies for all the dead in the family. Lord Ramachandra then gave Vibhishana the right to rule Lanka and also granted him a long duration of life. The Lord delivered Sita Devi from the Ashok forest and carried her in a flower airplane to his capital, Ayodhya, where he was received by his brother Bharata. When Lord Ramachandra entered Ayodhya, Bharata brought his wooden shoes. Vibhishana and Sugriva held a whisk and fan. Hanuman carried an umbrella. Shatrughna carried the Lord's bow and two quivers. And Sita Devi carried a water pot containing water from holy places. Right. So this is, means it's in a procession. Means the umbrella's over his head. There are the fans, his wicks. You know, it's not that they're all just standing there, cutting profiles, holding stuff, and looking cool. They're actually using it for the Lord. Yeah, yeah. Like that, so. Angada carried a sword and Jambavan Riksharaj carried a shield. After Lord Ramachandra, accompanied by Lord Lakshmana and Mother Sita Devi, met all his relatives, the great sage Vasishta enthroned him as king. The chapter ends with a short description of Lord Ramachandra's rule in Ayodhya. Shloka Anusharanam, verses 1 to 29, Lord Ramachandra's exile and Ravana's death. 30 to 55, Lord Ramachandra returns to Ayodhya. Verses 1 to 29, Lord Ramachandra's exile and Ravana's death. Sukadeva Goswami said, the son of Maharaj Katvanga was Dirgabahu, and his son was the celebrated Maharaj Raghu. From Maharaj Raghu came Aja, and from Aja was born the great personality Maharaj Dasarath. Being prayed for by the demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth Himself, directly appeared with His expansion and expansions of the expansion. Their holy names were Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna. These celebrated incarnations thus appeared in four forms as the sons of Maharaj Dasarath. O King Parikit, the transcendental activities of Lord Ramachandra have been described by great saintly persons who have seen the truth. Because you have heard again and again about Lord Ramachandra, the husband of Mother Sita, I shall describe these activities only in brief. Because these are common stories. So therefore he won't go into detail here, because they're already in detail in the Valmiki Ramayana. So please listen. Srila Prabhupada comments. Modern Rakshasas posing as educationally advanced merely because they have doctorates have tried to prove that Lord Ramachandra is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but an ordinary person. But those who are learned and spiritually advanced will never accept such notions. They will accept the descriptions of Lord Ramachandra's activities only as presented by Tattvadarshis, those who know the absolute truth. In Bhagavad Gita 4.34, the Supreme Personality of Godhead advises, Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshi maha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. Unless one is tatvadarshi, in complete knowledge of the absolute truth, one cannot describe the activities of the Personality of Godhead. Therefore, although there are many so-called Ramayans, or histories of Lord Ramachandra's activities, some of them are not actually authoritative. Sometimes Lord Ramachandra's activities are described in terms of one's own imaginations, speculations, or material sentiments. But the characteristics of Lord Ramachandra should not be handled as something imaginary.
Really? There are some?
There must be. Like that means there's the Ramayana and the Uttara Ramayana. That but then there's also ones put together by his Valmiki's disciples, Ananda Ramayana and some others. So those that I know of are all proper. But then there must be some other things. Just like nowadays, you see, yes.
She's a Kumbha Ramayana.
Kumbha.
I think who put it? That is also a bona fide.
Okay, but that's in Tamil?
I think so.
Yeah, that's the Tamil Ramayana.
Is there a Tulsi Ramayana?
Ah, that would be the one that's not bona fide.
That's the one that's not.
Yeah, yeah. That's not.
Tulsidas is not bona fide.
Sorry?
Tulsidas Ramayana is not bona fide.
You have competition in the background. Means if you speak loudly, we can hear. But Tulsi that I know of, he is, isn't he an impersonalist?
I don't know. I saw a discussion on it, and I was wondering.
No, that I know of, it's not. It's not that there's not points here and there that aren't correct. You know, it's not that, you know, he was actually born on the, you know, in Soho on Manhattan, and his father was a plumber, and you know, like that, and you know, it'll have some stuff, but the point is what makes something bona fide or not is not the facts as much as the attitude. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's what makes the difference. So then they'll be there. So that I know of, that Valmiki's Ramayana, we accept, Tulsi's we don't. Yeah, like that. And then, you know, you sometimes see this. It's a new thing that's come out in the last some years. It's like last 20 years or 30 years that they do these things. It's the Mahabharata, you know, from Draupadi's viewpoint or from Karna's viewpoint or from this one, Bhishma Dev's viewpoint. But to get that full of stuff and all that, a lot of that's going to be speculation, just how they think and everything like that. But because they're good writers and everything, then people think it's great. But you have to see the mood. And if the mood's not in line with the Bhagavatam, then it's not of any value. So that's the point. It's, you know, so many things can come up. So that's why I said, some of them are not actually authoritative. Right? Everyone accepts them, but they're not actually.
You know what, Maharaj, like, Tulsidas Ramayana is very famous all over India. And
of course. So is being a Shiva Bhakta. And, but Kali is very famous here. Means that's why you see is that, I think it's during Gaur Purnima, they have huge Kali Puja in Navadvipa. They have Kali deities are like 50 feet high. They're going for it. They want to, you know, this is our festival, not, you know, who's this Lord Chaitanya?
So like Karna and what's his name again? Ekalavya.
Yeah.
So, there was a serial, you know, on Mahabharata, you know, which had come, like, say, 2 years back. I don't know what it much, but then devotees.
But I mean, cereals, what's special about that? Yes. Kellogg's made cereals, it's famous.
But, you know, my thing is that devotees were watching the serial and. In a proper meeting, you know, it was been discussed how the viewpoint is, you know, in line with the Shastras. Whereas the director and the entire script was completely been done, not by devotees, but it was materialist. So,
no, but I'm saying, what's the whole point?
Yeah, the whole point is that at least Tulsidas Ramayana is better, you know, in terms of being Shastric than these, you know.
Take any Mayavadi, Shastra, nothing's not Shastra. It's all Shastra, it's Paka. But is that good enough for us?
No.
You know, it's about, unless it's coming in the mood of, that's what Prabhupada says, it's not actually authoritative. You know, it may be okay and right, but is it emphasizing the point of pure devotion?
No.
Then how is it of value?
Yes.
Otherwise, Mahabharata is already there.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
So that's the whole point. Basically, it's just that, you know, those from North India, they like that because it's in Hindi and it's, you know.
It's commonly spoken Hindi, very...
Yeah, you know, so it's good. And then you can get out the dolak, you know, the dolak. How the Bengali brahmacharis play mridanga. That sounds like a dolak. Yeah, so then you can do that boom-diddy. And then, you know, it gets the juices moving and, you know, you can digest all those rotis. And, you know, it's good. You know what I'm saying? But the point is what's the difference? It means you've read Mahabharata, right? Okay, now the first canto of Bhagavatam, is there any difference in flavor of that and the Mahabharata? It's the same stories, but do we find a difference in flavor? That's what Narad Muni was talking about. Because just because the facts are correct, whoopee. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, the Mayavadis, the Jaiminis, that they're all saying proper facts, but the problem is the mood's wrong. So that, you know, Ramachandra picked up the bow and you know, went to string it and then pulled it and broke it, you know, that they said that, and it's not that now they're authoritative. I mean, that's just the facts. But the whole point is, you know, doing this to please Sita Devi and also to, you know, show his superior position over Shiva. Do they show that he's superior to Shiva? Do they make that point clear? No. So then how is it bona fide? He's just a great personality who broke the bow and got Sita for a wife. You know, and the other guys couldn't. You know, saying so that's what we're dealing with here, is that fineness. So what we'll see here is that fine points. You know, right? So we're seeing this in the connection with now, how we're looking at it as Bhagavan. You know, at best, I think he looks at it that maybe he's Parabrahman, but that whether he feels that he's transcendental or he's in the mode of goodness, that I can't say, because it's, you know.
So only the Vaishnava Acharyas, they bring out these points about the surrender of Vibhishan, what are the various qualities of surrender, all those things. Only the Vaishnava Acharyas, none of the other writer has ever brought
those out. Yeah. So it's not that the facts aren't, you know, but what's the point? You know, just like the newspaper, full of so many facts. You know, it is a fact that, you know, this celebrity was seen coming out of this party with that celebrity and they looked like, you know, death warmed over. It is a fact. You can see the picture. They definitely don't look at their best. You know? But what's the point of it? Why? Who cares? You know, what do they mean by star dust? Is that, you know, dust means like fairy dust, or dust means you've taken them and with your shoe ground them into powder? You know, what do they mean by? Does that make sense? Yes. Okay. 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 Where are we? Unless one is Tattvadarshi?
Yes.
Unless one is Tattvadarshi, in complete knowledge of the absolute truth, one cannot describe the activities of the personality of Godhead. Therefore, although there are so many... Oh, no, he did that. So-called Ramayanas, or histories of Lord Ramachandra's activities, some of them are not actually authoritative. Right? He's just, you know, being pleasant here, but, you know, the point is no, not. So we don't have, oh, well, he's not being so strong. It's, no, we take it. We don't worry about all these others. But then if others, well, you know, we're just, you know, we deal pleasantly. But it doesn't mean that we don't understand the point and take it seriously. Yeah, that's the... Sometimes Lord Ramachandra's activities are described in terms of one's own imagination, speculations, and material sentiments. But such characteristics of Lord Ramachandra should not be handled as something imaginary. While describing the history of Lord Ramachandra, Sukadeva Goswami told Maharaj Pariksit, "You have already heard about the activities of Lord Ramachandra. Apparently, therefore, 5,000 years ago, there were many Ramayanas, or histories of Lord Ramachandra's activities, and there are many still. But we must select only those books written by Tattvadarshis. Jnani nas Tattvadarshinaha. Bhagavad Gita 4:34. Not the books of so-called scholars who claim knowledge only on the basis of a doctorate." This is a warning by Sukadeva Goswami. Yeah. Because otherwise, the doctorate means that you've studied according to a certain thing, and it may be in that category you may know something. But the problem is the Lord is beyond all that. So if a Vedic scholar can't know the Lord, how would a modern scholar know the Lord based on a doctorate? That's the point. The Lord is independent, so he reveals himself when he's pleased through devotional service. Yes?
Just like Prabhupada says that there were many versions of Bhagavad Gita in English before, but
yes,
they couldn't make any devotees.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that's the point. Because it's like you see in North India, you have so many people listening to this Ramayana, and they may identify as devotees of Ramachandra. But the same time, as you see, is if you get into some serious discussions about the Supreme, then the Supreme is impersonal. So then, haven't actually become devotees, you know? But you know, they're a kind of so-called devotee that they're favorable to devotees, so they'll invite them to do kirtans and, you know, give lectures and distribute prasad and take prasad and do all these things, and by that association, then they may become devotees. That's why the Vedic system is there, is because even if you don't have that kind of determination, because you follow the culture, you follow the religion, therefore, then these things will happen. So that's why, you know, they're there, but they're not actually authoritative, so we're not really worried about them. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.